Last night in Boston, convention delegates heard from the old and new voices of the Democratic Party.
In these challenging times for our country, in these fateful times for the world, America needs a genuine uniter, not a divider who only claims to be a uniter.
I'm voting for John Kerry and John Edwards because I want to see an America that's restored as the moral leader of the world.
There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America.
We can choose between the future and the past, between reason and ignorance, between true compassion and mere ideology. This is our moment, and we must not falter.
With John Kerry as president, we can and we will protect our nation's security without sacrificing our civil liberties.
Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, Illinois State Senator Barack Obama, Ron Reagan, the son of the late president, and Teresa Hines Kerry, wife of John Kerry. Joining us now from Boston, as he has all week, NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. Good to have you back, Ken.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Old and new last night.
Well, it's remarkable. When you think of the old, you think of Ted Kennedy, who's been in the Senate since 1962. But even Howard Dean seemed old yesterday. Once upon a time, he was the future of the Democratic Party. He was going to liberate the Democrats from their refusal or their hesitance from criticizing the president on the war and health insurance and the economy. And suddenly, Howard Dean seemed like yesterday's news. But certainly, there were a lot of delegates on the floor wearing "I'm a Dean supporter" for Kerry stickers. So there's a lot of Dean supporters out there.
The keynote speaker, always a plum assignment for any convention, going to a 42-year-old state senator from Illinois. What's the buzz about Barack Obama's speech?
I tell you, you know, everybody waits to see what a keynote speech will happen, what will happen result of it. Everybody talked about John Glenn giving a keynote speech in 1976, whether it would boost his chances to get on Jimmy Carter's ticket for vice president. It was a dull speech. He flopped, and nobody ever heard from John Glenn again. Barack Obama yesterday was almost a unanimous consensus on the floor. He was magnificent. He was uplifting. He never stopped. The crowd never stopped cheering. He's a great success story. He's an amazing story, considering nobody ever heard of him until the March primary in Illinois when he won the Democratic nomination for the Senate. But there's glowing tributes for Barack Obama everywhere you went yesterday.
And now the Republican Party's having a hard time finding an opponent for him.
That's right. The original Republican nominee had to drop out because of a sex scandal. They tried to get Mike Ditka, the former Chicago Bears coach. He said no. Other people wavered with it and said no. It's unlikely. Never before in history has the Republican Party in the land of Lincoln not had a Republican nominee for the Senate. And I'm sure they'll come up with somebody. But even before Jack Ryan, the original Republican, dropped out, Obama had a 20-point lead in the polls.
Now, we've been talking about what everybody had a chance to see last night. There's a bit of controversy over something that people haven't had the chance to see, the removal of a TV network's banner from the skybox.
Well, there was a large Al Jazeera banner in the convention hall, along with the ABC News banner and the CNN banner and all those things. And unofficially, the Democrats say that they just didn't have room for it. They just need to get rid of it. But this is just speculation here, but just the thought of an Al Jazeera banner hanging in a Democratic convention would be fodder for a Republican convention 5 weeks from now. So maybe some Democrats thought better of it and just wanted to get rid of it.
Has it been found?
Excuse me?
Has they found it?
I have not. No, I'm not saying that. I don't know anybody who knows where it is right now.
Okay. Ken, we're going to put you on the case. Go look for it. Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor, with us from our convention studio in Boston. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. The price of crude oil reached an all-time high today. The price rise seems to be related to news that Russian oil giant Yukos has been ordered to stop selling its oil. Joining us now to talk about this is Alex Brido, an analyst with the Eurasia Group, a political risk research group. He joins us from our bureau in New York. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
What does today's ruling by the Russian government mean for global oil markets?
Well, first I should start off by saying that we don't know for certain if Yukos has been ordered to shut in their production. We do know a couple of things. We know, in fact, that they did receive an order from the authorities, but the question is whether or not that order's language applies to shutting in production. If it did, the impact both to Yukos and also, of course, to the international oil markets would be serious. But the question, I think, at this point is whether or not, in fact, the government wants this to happen. And there may, in fact, be some practical reasons why the government would not want to see oil production shut in at Yukos.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this company. It's been in the headlines a lot today.
Absolutely. The Yukos, just to give some perspective about Yukos, it's one of the two top oil producers in Russia. It produces roughly 20% of Russia's oil. And for some global perspective, it's essentially on par in terms of its output alone. It exceeds the production of Libya. So we're talking about a fairly significant company and a fairly significant amount of oil. The trigger for what happened today has been an ongoing dispute for the last year between the state and the company, both in terms of an attack by the state on the company over unpaid taxes over the last 4 years, as well as a government investigation into Yukos's prime shareholder and former CEO Mikhail Khodorkovsky. And this case has been going on for quite some time. And what we saw today was really sort of the latest and one of the most serious developments, obviously, in the standoff between the two sides.
So if it's unclear what the effect of the order will be, this is a psychological reaction, the market running up.
Potentially, this could be a psychological reaction, although it's difficult to say. There obviously are other factors playing into the global oil markets. But what Yukos has done in the last month or so is to paint essentially the worst-case scenario for what could happen if some of the state's actions to enforce a $3.4 billion tax claim against the company were, in fact, to be carried out to their conclusion. And one of the areas that they've warned about is that if Yukos was to shut down some of their production facilities, that obviously this would have an impact on global oil markets. Now, the Russian state has tried to reassure global markets as well as the Russian people that, in fact, Yukos will not be shutting in its production and that there's not the risk of bankruptcy, which is the other aspect of what Yukos has tried to warn the Russian state about.
So is there any way to tell whether this spike in prices today is going to be temporary or a more permanent fixture?
Well, one of the critical signs will be whether or not the Russian government responds to what happened today. Most of the news that came out about the potential shut-in of production came from Yukos itself. It did not come from the government. If the Justice Ministry subsequently comes in and explains the order that it gave to Yukos's key production subsidiaries that triggered this this crisis today, then we could actually see some of the tension start to ease. But there is this underlying tension between the state and Yukos that's going to be continuing for some time. And I would expect that Yukos will continue to lay out its case in an effort to attempt to show the Kremlin, in particular, the consequences of what might happen if the state does attempt to go after Yukos and some of its subsidiaries.
So unlikely to be resolved anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. Maybe later this summer, but it's definitely a longstanding case and will continue to be going on.
And a new world for those of us unaware of one Russian oil company. Its output is as big as Libya's. Very changed world. Alex Bredow, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Alex Bredow is an analyst for the Eurasia Group, a political risk research group, and he joined us from our bureau in New York. More on this coming up later today. On NPR News in Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.